You are listening to App Slappy Podcast with Scott and Eric.
Attention.
Scott and Eric.
No.
Derp. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of App Slappy. This is episode number 43 for Tuesday, April 20th, 2010. This is the show for podcast. No, what is it for? It's for App Store addicts, covering all the hot news and reviews for your iPhone, iPad, or iPod Touch needs. I'm Scott.
And I'm Eric.
Welcome back, everybody.
Sorry, I was distracted by the chat room.
That's all right. You'll be distracted by the chat room as we go on. I'm starting to regret the chat room. I love those people, but Eric's like he's like a rat with a shiny rock. He's got to go find it, pick it up, play with it. All right. Good luck in there, chat room. It's good to have you all here. By the way, if you are interested in doing, if you're interested in being a part of that chat room, you can do it every Tuesday when we record, and it's at 9 p.m. Mountain Time. Eric's time is 11 p.m. We do a live chat room. That's right. You can find more details at appslappy.com. So check that out. Another quick note to let everybody know that we are partnering in a way. It's difficult to know what to call it exactly, but it's a beneficial relationship between us and touchmyapps.com. These guys are doing really, really great app coverage, phone coverage, kind of the whole Apple coverage thing on the web, and one of the better blogs you're going to find. Great game reviews, all sorts of news, late-breaking headlines. We're going to feature a lot of their content on the site. We're going to talk about some of it right here on the show. Wanted to point people that direction. Again, that's touchmyapps.com. Go check them out.
News!
Let's talk about the big news this week, and this is the thing that nobody can shut up about. It's been going on for a couple of days now. Fourth-gen iPhone left in a bar and found by the people at Gizmodo, or not really found by them, but now sort of being shown all over the place by Gizmodo. I don't know if Gizmodo paid the guy who found it. Some of that stuff's a little bit unsure, or I haven't really checked too deep into finding out how they acquired it. It's been more interesting.
I heard they paid 10 grand for
it. Ooh, 10 grand? Holy crap, dude. Whew. That's a lot of cashola. But it's a big scoop for them, and they're milking it for all they can. I mentioned on Twitter today that it's out of control. I don't know if it's good or for bad, but either way, we are looking at what appears to be, at least in prototype form, the fourth generation iPhone. It was left at this bar, and
apparently it was the guy's birthday.
Yeah, the guy was celebrating his birthday, worst birthday ever, when he realized he'd left it, I'm sure. No confirmation on whether the guy still works at Apple or if he got fired or if this is all got blown up in his face or not, but I'm guessing that they're none too happy over there. I mean, you know how this goes. So one of the most secretive companies in the world, sure, they occasionally leak something for their own benefit, but this was not intentional, I don't think, anyway. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy saying that this was a plan all along, and they know what they're doing, and then this was a plant. But what's your take on it? Do you feel like Apple just, this is just a screw up by one employee, and Apple did not intend for this to get out?
Yeah, I think it was a total screw up. I mean, the guy's what, 27? He's young.
Yeah.
He's out drinking at a bar. You know, he gets drunk, he leaves his iPhone. And I think, oh, yeah, I'll put a 3G case on it. Nobody will know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, and that's what he did. He tried to disguise it. But rather than get into all the hoi polloi about what happened and who this guy is and why Apple would allow this or if whether they did or didn't, that's all happening in the peripheral anyway.
I am totally wrong.
You are dead wrong.
I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, about one thing, that's all.
Yeah, I know.
So you predicted that stupid, the back thing where you'd rub it and it would do stuff. That's not there.
Yep.
And one of my early, long time ago predictions that the new phone would finally be flush and not rounded anymore is coming true.
I think I kind of like the new design. I kind of like it.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I think I like it a lot.
I love the aluminum around the edges of it. And
yeah, new buttons are cool.
The new buttons are cool. I mean, I understand why they have to have that backing, that plastic backing on it.
Yeah.
That all makes sense.
Radios and stuff. Still looks really great. So here's the breakdown. Front-facing video chat camera. Now, has that been confirmed? Because I heard somebody said, no, that's the sensor that they're looking at. The light sensor.
What?
That's what somebody said, and I argued with them day and night.
Look at your phone right now. Your phone has that same sensor.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Why would they have to put a like a hole for it. They don't need to.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm with you. This is, that phone has a front-facing camera. So long ago rumors, even before the 3GS, that we'd have a front-facing camera appear to be the case, that we're getting a front-facing camera.
Dude, this is bad.
What?
Because, you know, texting and driving's bad. Now people are going to be
texting
video
and chatting. Oh, dude.
Video chatting and driving.
It does seem kind of bad.
No, I mean, it's cool. It's a cool feature.
I don't know. I say
I don't
bad.
Know. I don't know. It's like, how often do you use video chat anyway?
I guarantee I mean, I'll
not,
find
not
some.
Not for like, you know, for shows or whatnot, but just for like on a day-to-day basis, like to contact somebody. I rarely ever use the video chat.
Well, if there's any indication of how this thing will be supported, Apple would be smart to let this connect with desktop users. So if I'm using iChat on a Mac or I'm using like Google Talk on a PC, and by the way, Google Talk is compatible with iChat, so there's a lot of cross compatibility, AOL Messenger as well. So if they make all this stuff interoperable, then that makes some sense to me. I'd be out in some remote location. I need to tie back to a client and talk to him face-to-face or show him something I'm working on. Even better would be Wi-Fi access built in to using Skype would be cool. I can see some kind of benefits.
Yeah, it's totally going to integrate with the desktop. I mean, it's, you know, it's going to be, you can, you know, pretty much everything that IM application does, it can, you can do it on the iPhone except for, you know, receiving files or whatnot.
So you think over 3G we'll get it?
Oh, 3G, I don't, it'd be, I mean, you can, you were streaming the other day off of 3G with your Ustream application, right?
Yeah, yeah, I was.
And it was, and it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it was actually pretty solid. That was when I was on that trip and we took some shots while I was driving. And yeah, it looked okay. So obviously they'll be able to do something over 3G, question about quality and stuff. But I'm excited about that. What else? We got the improved regular back camera. So the lens is noticeably larger on the than it is on the old phone. And we're getting a flash like you had predicted.
Yep.
So good job. So far, I think it's 2-1, Scott versus Eric. just kidding. Higher res display, 960 by 460. This is unconfirmed.
It's interesting. The display is a little bit smaller.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what they reported. It said it's a tiny, it's slightly bit smaller, but at a higher resolution.
We're, of course, linking to all the Gizmodo coverage, and you guys can see this for yourselves. By the way, but, Gizmodo
this is what I'm really excited about, is a larger battery, 16% larger.
Yeah, I know that's huge. If you're going to support this kind of video stuff and probably have that new Apple chip in it and probably responding to complaints that the phone has always had crappy battery life for things like gaming and stuff, they keep claiming, oh, this is a great portable gaming platform, but it's got the battery life of a flea. So finally, better battery life, and that's good. That's good for us.
I think at first I thought it was fake, but now I think it's totally real because actually there was a letter sent to Gizmodo, whatever how you say it.
From that lawyer.
From the lawyer saying we want our stuff back.
Yep. Split buttons for volume. They're kind of metallic looking buttons. Power, mute, and volume are all metallic.
Excuse me. Yeah, they're actually saying that actually those buttons could be used for actually like taking a picture too.
Yeah, which would be cool because I would prefer that. 3 grams heavier, which is probably the battery light or the battery in there.
Yep.
Additional battery is going to be definitely, you know, I'm kind of spoiled on the iPad with the battery life, so I'm hoping the phone can get closer to that. And then, like we mentioned before, the back of the phone is completely flat and flush. There is no rounding. There is no curve. And that curve was never, I mean, it was a fine design, but that was never a design choice. That was more of a let's fit all our crap in the back of this thing choice. So as they refine the phone, just like any other devices and computer hardware, that stuff gets thinner. And it is overall thinner than the current phone.
I have a quick question about your because like your iPad has a complete aluminum backing, right?
Yep, it does.
Have you, you know, and have you had any issue with Wi-Fi reception with it?
None. I've been fine with it. I know some have complained. There have been some people who have issues, but I haven't had any problems at all. Same range as my phone. It's one of the first things I tested out was see how far away I could get down the street, and it was exactly the same as my phone. So I don't know if that's as good as other devices that have Wi-Fi. Like if there's, you know, the iPad and the iPhone don't have great range, but they were the same range, and I've never had any issues, so... My router's way downstairs, and I get, you know, great reception like 3 floors up. So it's all good.
Yeah, my router is like all the way on the top floor, and I still get, you know, three floors down, I get really good reception.
Yeah, no issues to speak of, but I don't know how that works differently. I mean, I think there's other issues. That plastic, I think, on the phone is a lot less about the Wi-Fi and a lot more about the 3G radio and what's the other one that we have in there?
GPS chip.
GPS and a regular 2G chip and all that stuff's sort of fighting for, you know, for bandwidth. And not that they, not that those things compete for bandwidth necessarily, but if you've got a metal shell covering that, you're giving them all a harder job to do, and that's more battery to boost that stuff out. So the plastic thing has never bothered me. And I like the idea of a matte finish, and this new phone looks like it's using some sort of matte finish on the back.
Yeah.
I like that. It's very prototypey. Nobody knows if this is the final thing. I am way excited for Steve to get up and talk about it so I can stop looking at photos with Gizmodo exclusive written all across the front and the freaking watermark. That's so obnoxious, dude. Anyway.
Gotta leave their mark everywhere they go.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway.
But like probably everybody and their dog has seen these, so let's move on.
Let's move on. Yeah, we don't want to talk more about it because this is, I feel like it's only a day or two old on the news, but it's been so hammered online that you can't walk like 3 feet.
Dude, the guy's been like interviewed on like morning shows and stuff.
I know, it's too much. That's too much. That Brian Lamb guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's see what happens. A lot of people are mad at Gizmodo for milking this so hard because other companies are like, ooh, dude, I don't think I'll be giving Gizmodo first crack at anything we're doing. I mean, they're starting to feel like they would stab you in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Starman showed me that video of what they did at CES.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
And I was like, really?
Those Gawker guys are kind of crazy. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever it takes to get your site popular and making money, I understand. I get it, but I feel like we're going down the road of 24-hour news networks a little bit. You know, little exploitation, something like that. Anyways, moving on. We talked about Apple's response. You already mentioned that. We won't go into that anymore. Let's move on to our stupid app of the week.
In a world where complete morons develop apps, it's the stupid app of the week. Derp.
We got a dummy this time, but it is free.
Do tell. What is this?
Well, even on the front, the name of it is stupid. It's the most useless machine is what it's called. The most useless machine. And you literally flip a switch and that's it. The only other functionality is it tracks how many times you've done it. So it doesn't turn anything on. It doesn't result in anything. It doesn't do anything. It is a big, like imagine a light switch that did nothing.
Oh my gosh.
It exists.
And it has a 3-star rating? How is that possible?
A 2.5 overall. And it has 1,400, let's see, out of its 3,009 ratings.
Okay, yeah.
It has 1,400 of them are one star. Yeah, so anyway. Some people just like the audacity of it and sort of think it's great that it even exists, but I think it's ridiculous. And why would you spend money? Somebody said in their description, they say, I wonder what's going to happen when the counter reaches 9,999,999. And I'm guessing nothing happens. And they're just saying that to get you to buy it so you want, or to try it so you may find out, you know, what that turns into. But it's not going to do anything. This is stupid. Stupid.
Some guy, guys, I discovered the use of this app. It makes a rather cool wallpaper, especially for the metal theme.
Well, then, I mean, I guess if it's free. Maybe I'll download it.
That's funny.
Maybe I'll download it, see what all the hubbub's about. Most useless machine.
Hey, well, this guy found a secret. I found a secret once. You press the up button, up have to lift, and it will open a secret passage.
What?
Way, and it's basically a Apple box type app.
What?
What?
He's making that up. I don't believe him.
All right.
Thank you, Tony, for sending in the stupid app of the week this week. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. Normally, this is the part of the show.
Where's our bumper? I missed the bumper.
Oh, no, I'll do it in post. I forgot to play it here. Post is where I'll play it. Post, I tell you, damn it.
Oh, that's where magic happens.
That's where the magic happens, in post. All right. what I was going to say was normally this is the part of the show where we get to hear from France. Patrick normally sashays up to the microphone and says something akin to just brilliance, but he's not here this week. We don't know where he
went. But you know what we're going to do this time?
What?
I really want to do this so people will stop emailing the show. Mm. Scott, can you please tell us what the song you use for his...
You want to know?
Yes, we get so many emails each week. Hey, what's the song that
we play
uses?
For Patrick's thing? Yeah, he actually sent it to me. We probably break some sort of French copyright law when we play it, but it's Fleur de Saison by Emile Simon. The album is Vegetal. And apparently this is a huge hit in France, and that's all I can tell you because that's all I know.
There you go, guys.
Quit asking.
Sweet. All right.
So there's that. Thank you, Patrick, for nothing. This week, anyway. I'm sure we'll see him next week. I know he's been very busy. So no big deal. Let's move on to our update corner. We actually have something for this. Do you want to hear the new update corner?
Dude, you're getting all into the update corner, aren't you?
Dude, we got a jingle, too. Check it out. Update corner.
Look at you. It sounds like a Scott Johnson original.
I didn't even make it. Someone made it and sent it in. Anyway, this is Update Corner. This is where we talk about major updates or updates of significance to apps that either we're using or that you might be interested in. Let me start with what I'm going to talk about this week, which is kind of rare for me to even do these. For me this week, Art Studio, which I called Art Suite 500 times last week.
Yes.
For the iPhone and iPod, or excuse me, iPad.
I bet the Art Suite application is very happy you did that.
I'm sure they did, whoever they are. Art Studio is the one I meant. And if you'll remember during my review, one of my few complaints was not enough layers. It only let you do three layers or two layers or something. Three, I think, is what it was. And there were some other stuff like I can't go landscape mode. And I think those were my main complaints. That very night, the application
got
updated. I know,
after you finished the show, it was kind of funny.
It was crazy. Right after the show got done, I get this update. And if you bought it and you got it when it was 99 cents, I think it still is actually for the big one. Anyway, I have to check. But they put six layers. Excuse me, five layers. I said six, I meant five. Five layers, that's a huge, huge improvement from the way I use this thing. So couldn't be happier about that. Landscape is now supported. It supports multiple resolutions higher than the default resolution of the iPad. So you could export this thing and use it somewhere else that's a larger resolution. So that's really cool. And it's faster. Everything seemed just to be kind of tweaked up on speed. So
And you were pretty impressed with the speed of it as it was, right?
I already was, yeah. I thought a lot of sort of fluid brush movement and stuff was already happening, and it's actually better now. So very, very cool. And the phone has also received some updates as well. I don't know about the resolution thing because I haven't tested it, but all the other stuff applies. Five layers, faster motion, landscape, blah, blah, blah.
Dude, I can't wait to get this with my iPad.
Yeah. So get it. Check it out. If you already got it, make sure you update it. Also updated for the iPad, for you iPad owners. TweetDeck for the iPad. They had this issue where, and I thought it was an issue, but one of the problems I have with it is if you held it in landscape mode, you got all three columns. You got your things you were following, you got replies to you, and then you have your direct messages. And it's nice to have sort of all three. But if you click on one and they had a link in it to go see somebody's video or link off to a site or something, there was nowhere to click that link unless you rotated the iPad horizontally or vertically rather. So in portrait mode, and then you could see the link. So they would pop up and let you click them.
Really?
Kind of obnoxious, right?
Oh my god.
Yeah, it drove me crazy. I hated that. And so they've added an option now in landscape mode. When you click on that tweet, you now have an option to click the link and go. So they fixed it, basically. So way to go, TweetDeck, for the iPad.
Oh wow.
That's it for me. What'd you get what'd you see updated this week?
All right. I mean, I was like, that's looking, wait, those are my reviews.
Yeah, those are your reviews.
Okay. I was like, you were streaming your little run the other night. I was like, hey, I was downstairs. And I was like, you know, I didn't have a computer. So I was, let me go on to Ustream. And I remember it's been recently updated. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been on it for a while. Oh my gosh. Stay away from the Ustream update. It is horrible. It pretty much breaks the Ustream application.
You're talking about the broadcaster or the receiver one?
The receiver one.
Yeah, I agree.
I could not find you. It should only display 15 shows. And
they're only ones that they're putting, that they're promoting.
Featured.
Yeah, featured. That's the word I meant.
And it's just, you can't even do a search, or you can do a search, but nothing comes up because you're searching the 15 results. And I'm like, what the crap? Why would they come out with something like that and totally break it?
It's obnoxious. I will agree. It's been like that for a while, though.
Has it?
Yeah, well, anyway, you just haven't updated, but yeah, sucks.
So if you haven't updated, don't. Wait till they, fix that.
Yeah.
Also, our favorite Space Miner. So check this out. They upgraded their whole graphics engine for the 3GS.
Oh, they did. Did they?
Yeah. The brand new Mercury graphic engine.
I love Space Miner. Still one of my favorite iPhone games.
More equipment.
Yeah.
New level 7 to access the elite, ultra expensive new tech that makes your awesome ship even more awesome.
Oh, man. I know there's a bunch of you out there that went and got that game when it was on sale, and I know none of you regretted it. It's still such a great game. I can't say enough about Space Miner. So hearing about that makes me excited to pick it up again. It's very cool.
And then they added a hardcore player mode where it's ultra mode. You can beat the game with only one life on the hardest difficulty.
Oh, wow.
So
impressive.
Good stuff there, but the whole upgrading the freaking graphic system, crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy.
Also,
go ahead.
Updated is I use Gowalla, and they added a really nice feature where you can there's a nearby button. It's like you have all your friends listed, but if you hit this nearby button up at the right hand. top
the
right hand
top
right,
yeah
right hand top part of the screen.
Okay.
It filters out only your friends that are nearby you.
Oh, wow.
So you can actually kind of see who's next to you. Like I'm looking at here, and Starman is like the only one really close to me right now.
Yeah, that's great.
That's a cool feature.
You're a fan of Gowalla going into it, so it sounds like a nice new feature, nice update.
Yeah, so it's nice, they keep improving it and adding stuff. But
by the way, I didn't, since I wasn't sure, Art Studio for the iPad is still 99 cents. And it is, that it says any minute now could be more expensive. So they recommend getting it. And they're claiming this is 80% off. So it's an $8 app, basically. And it's still 99 cents, at least in the US store. The iPhone version, $3.99. So, take advantage of that if you have an iPad. That thing is so great. Okay, that's it for updates. Time for this.
Reviews.
Levy. Reviews.
This week in reviews, I'm going to review Strange Things today. A little different than usual. Let me pull one of them up here. All right, let's start this week with, I'm going to do a comparison review, all right, between the Apple iPad case that they made. Apple made one.
Yep.
Versus the in-case sleeve that I ended up with ultimately, and I'll tell you why I chose this way. So a lot of people heard me very early in my iPad experience say, yes, I purchased the official Apple folio looking thing, and my initial first impressions were pretty good. I liked the feel of it. It had kind of a nice texture to it. And after about a day and a half of use, I quickly started to hate it. And I couldn't quite put my finger on why. And so I started thinking a lot about why and decided that it might be good on this show to talk about that. And here's what I've come to with the Apple one. By the way, they're the same price. What I ended up with cost me the same as what the Apple one did. The Apple one wants to be sleek and cool and elegant. And it should be. I mean, the stuff Apple makes is that way normally. I just think they're either not cut out for this, accessory business, and that's why they don't do it very often, or they sub this stuff out. I don't know, but in the end, here are my two major problems. It's really hard to slide this thing in and out of it. And there are times I just want to have the iPad out. I want to use it out and in my hands and outside of this leather rubber thing. And getting it out of it is really, really hard. And getting it in is really hard. And I feel like I'm breaking stuff when I try to move it in and out of that thing. So that is completely inconvenient. Other problem, the edges that kind of go around the rim of the iPad collect dust like crazy, to the point that you just constantly feel like you're blowing your iPad off. You're getting dust and grime out from underneath these little flaps, and you feel like you're going to scratch it. So now you have another reason to pull it out all the time and clean it. It became a constant problem where I was just like, oh, there's more dirt in here. How come there's more dirt in here? And Eric would argue because I live out in the West Desert. That's partially true, I'm sure.
But and you were complaining about dust 2 days earlier.
Right. And we had a big dust storm, too. That probably didn't help. But it just drove me nuts. And I started thinking, well, what I really want here is something I can pull out and use and quickly put away. Like, I don't care that it's all has an open flap. There's nothing. I can't keep anything inside that flap anyway. It's not like it had extra space like some of these others do. So I started hunting around. And I remembered back in the day from my... My MacBook Pro 13-inch. I have an in-case neoprene sleeve. And it's really simple. You can hear the zipper. Hear that? I promise that's the sleeve and not my zipper. Or is it? Anyway, it's real.
Well, you only can see your head, Scott.
It's real
video.
Simple. Chat room can see it. It's very simple. Soft inside. Very padded and sort of easy to slip something in there. It came with a stand, like a little plastic stand for the iPads. If you're watching, you know, Netflix or something, you can just set it right up on this little stand. And it's really just sort of like rubber, like strip. And I can't describe it very well, but it came with it. And I prefer this 1,000 times more than I like the Apple one. It is just so easy to pop it in, pop it out, keeps it protected, simple, easy to move it around with. I also have less people saying, what's that? Oh, what's that? They don't know what this is. And I'm sick of people touching my iPad, by the way. It's driving me nuts. Oh my gosh, you got one? Let me see it. I mean, I get that like every day since I got it. Just a better solution, I think. And unless you're just have to have something wrapped around the thing even during use, then I don't know why you would go that other way. It collects dirt. It's unwieldy to get into and out of. And the outside gets scuffed super easy. It just doesn't feel like
so
you put
a lot
question.
Of thought
say
I'm on the train.
Yeah.
Is it easy just to set the iPad on top of the case?
Yeah, and put it on your lap? Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's not difficult to hold both at the same time.
No, not at all. If I had any complaint about that, it would be that because this outside uses kind of a microfiber sort of, I don't even know what you call this, external stuff, the neoprene part. I guess it's made out of neoprene. It's slippery as a place for the aluminum to be. So if you're on the bus and it's, or if you're on the train and it's really sloshing around or something, that might not be great because it will move around. It's those two surfaces don't have a lot of friction. But outside of that one case scenario, it's fine to just stick it out and pull it out and put it there. And sticking it right back in is so easy. Zip it up, slap it in your backpack or carry it with your books or stick it in your briefcase, whatever. Small, easy, compact, awesome. So I'm going to give this in case thing and others like it. There's plenty of other choices. I just thought these guys were good and I already like my MacBook one. I'm going to give this one 4 stars as a case for the iPad. And I'm going to give the fancy schmancy Apple one 2 stars, and that's generous. Don't like it.
That's funny. At first, you really did like it.
Yeah, because it's nice on the first impression. It's like, whoa, this is pretty slick. Blah blah blah. But then you just in actual usage, it just falls apart. So there you have it. Moving on. Where else am I here? Oh, and then one last little thing I thought I'd throw in here because I don't want to take too much time. Speed test from speedtest.net. I use speedtest.net all the time to test my internet connection. Many of you probably do as well. Speedtest.net has a free iPhone app called Speedtest, and I'd used other speed testers for Wi-Fi and 3G access, and they were all okay and did sort of similar things. But Speedtest from the speedtest.net guys is the best I've used by far. It is free. It is super simple. It's great. I want to recommend it highly. If you're having concerns about where you're at, if the Wi-Fi, hotspot you're using is all that great or isn't that great or whatever, and you want to test it to make sure your theory is right and move somewhere else, you can do it. And it's super accurate and awesome, and I love it. So I'm going to give it 3.5 stars because it's a utility and it's not that fancy and it's not like they're, rocket science, but It does the job, and we're always looking for good utilities. So go check it out. Speed test. It's free.
I don't know why. It's weird because I don't know how, why it would be any use, because when you're using your iPhone, it's like you have really no choice, your 3G speed, because that's where you are. It's not like you can move to a...
That's true, but
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true. It's useful if you're like up in, I don't know, a canyon or something, and you've got limited access or less access, and you want to know just how limited, this thing will tell you. Like,
I can tell.
In a way,
I
guess.
If I was not downloading, I must be having limited service.
No, that's true. I guess this is more for tweakers and people that are really interested in the numbers. So, yeah, I mean, you can kind of eyeball it. It works on the iPad as well, so if there's issues with that, you can certainly try it on there. But it's just one of those, expanded out two times. It's definitely designed for the iPhone. But I don't know. I've used it a few times, and partially because I got a new ISP last week, and I was constantly testing my Wi-Fi point to make sure I'd set everything up. And this was a great way to, like, whip out a device and quickly check Wi-Fi and, work nice that way. So, anyway, since if it costs money, I'd probably rate it lower.
Yeah, I guess for your iPad, I could see.
The stuff should be free.
With your Wi-Fi and whatnot.
And since people think I'm overloading the show with too much iPad talk, next week I will have tons of iPhone coverage for my reviews, but I am going to do one iPhone app I want to review. And the reason I'm bringing it up now is because I want to recommend that people at least think about checking it out. It is called Penultimate. And the reason I say check it out, because I think they're going to raise the price. It's $2.99 right now. And it's a note-taking application that is literally like pen and ink on paper style note-taking with your finger. And that sounds horrible, I know, but it actually works really well. A full review coming next week, $2.99.
So this is for the iPhone. So it actually does, I'm intrigued.
They have it for both.
Yeah, I'd imagine, because probably taking notes on the iPad would be easier with your finger than on the iPhone.
Yeah, and I'm going to review that version. I think the iPhone version, if you've got both, you may as well use the one. You'd use the biggest one, but sure.
Yeah, but it's interesting. It actually can make your notes legible by just writing with your finger.
True that.
Wow.
It looks really
good. I'm intrigued,
surprisingly good. I mean, I have terrible writing anyway, so I have to write big to make it look okay, but... People are raving about it.
Very intrigued. I can't wait till next week.
So, Eric, tell me, I can't wait for the next 5 minutes to hear about Tune Paint.
All right. I posted a picture I did with AJ. Did you see that picture I did?
Yes, I did.
AJ?
It was awesome.
And like I said, AJ and Scanner Darkly.
Yeah, that was great. It was
what
very,
Tune
very
Paint
cool.
is, it's at $1.99. And what it does is it does that effect, that waking life and... Scanner Darkly, and I guess those Charles Schwab ads also have that little cartoony effect on it.
Yeah.
There's
also something else. What else is there? What? Oh, the Aha video in the 80s kind of had that, right?
Well, it didn't have the color.
Right. That's true. But it's always what it reminds me of when I see it.
Oh, does it? Yeah. The interesting enough is like the filter does the thing. Now, you have some pretty crazy control on the line, the detail, and like the grays. And stuff like that. But interesting enough, you have to add the color yourself.
So you're filling,
so it just gives you a black and white and gray thing, and then it gives you the tools to actually add the color. So it's actually takes a little skill, because you're doing it on your little iPhone and with your finger. But it's kind of cool. I kind of enjoy it. The controls are a little weird, I'd have to say. Like to access the preferences for the kind of the to control the kind of the line spacing and the details of the line and of the filter, it's a rabbit with a coming out of a magic hat.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you're like, that really doesn't convey the filter preference you would think it would.
Yeah.
And so a bomb is a graphic of a bomb is undo and clear at the same time.
Okay.
It's just bizarre.
That's weird.
So the other ones are okay, but yeah. So you can, it has a great color palette thing where you can pick any color.
Yeah.
And just, you can adjust brush size and stuff like that. And it does a really good job with that kind of that Scanner Darkly waking life effect. And I highly recommend it. I'd give it like a 3.5. It'd be cool if it did the color, but it's kind of cool that it puts kind of the artistic thing back in your hands.
It sounds a lot like the iPhone app Paint Me, which is similar stuff. So it's interesting that this sounds like almost the same thing. Is it? Do you know if it's for the iPad or not, or just for?
I don't know. Let's find out. Because this is not an iPad show, Scott.
iPhone only. Look at that.
Just teasing you. Give it to me. I didn't look because I don't have an iPad, so I don't care. no. Well said. I don't know. You could look it up.
I'm looking at it. iPhone only.
iPhone only. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Looks like it's looks pretty cool. I kind of like it.
Same. Anyway, that's called TunePaint, $1.99. You know, check it out. If you want to check out my picture I did, you can check out my Twitter feed.
Yeah. Twitter.com/Hakito.
Hakito.
Tell us about Zombie Booth. I saw this the other day and thought I might try it.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's gross.
So I listened. I can't remember who it was. I was like, oh, you got to try this. You got to try this. So I downloaded it. It's from the same people who do the motion portrait one. Remember that one?
Yeah.
The 3D face thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what this does is it transforms your face into a zombie.
A gross, okay. Like, disgusting, horrible zombie.
It freaked the crap out of me, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, what the? It almost gave me nightmares, you know?
Yeah, it's
weird. Because of what it does. I don't know if you've seen any videos of this thing?
No, but the 3D effect is what people are telling me is the cool thing about it.
Yeah, and the thing is once you when you put your finger up to the mouth of the zombie.
Bite it, right?
It starts biting it and chomping on it.
Yeah,
but dude. The noises are so freaky. I'll actually do a little demo on the noises right now.
And their screenshots, while you're pulling that up, the screenshots is that same blonde chick from that other app.
Yep. Wait for it. The thing is the worst thing I did is I zombified my kids, which is even more freaky.
Yeah, yeah. Zombie children are horrible, dude.
Huh?
Zombie kids freak me out.
I know, dude.
That is a freaky thing.
It's 99 cents. It's fun.
It's a toy, know? Sure.
But it freaks people out really, really badly. So it's kind of funny in that aspect, I guess.
Top paid app in Japan, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's a Japanese company who you can tell by how they write their copy a little bit. But it's called Zombie Booth Alive in 3D, and it's 99 cents. Wow. I like the stuff this guys do. I wish they, I'm waiting for more updates on the motion portrait stuff. I mean, I love the afro and the sunglasses and all that kind of stuff.
It'd be cool if they did something in games with that. I don't know what you'd do, but.
Oh, that'd be sick. Could you imagine with the eye of the PS3 if you could like have a horde of Scott Johnson zombies coming at you?
Ugh, don't even want to think about it. That sounds horrible. All right. Well, there you go.
Awesome.
That's very cool. Very cool. So did you give it stars? I didn't hear.
I give it, I guess, 3.5.
Okay.
I mean, it's only so much fun you can have with it, but it's kind of freaky.
That's good. And then next week, coming up.
Yeah, I'm going to try that little app called Awesome Note. It kind of caught my eye the other day.
Is it going to pull you away from, is it a to-do thing or just note-taking type thing?
It's a note-taking thing that also does to-do stuff, so. But I don't think it has push, so that might be my big downfall of it.
Awesome Note, $3.99.
There's a live version that I'm using right now, so check it out. Okay,
cool. That looks cool. iPhone only, and I like the interface. That's cool.
Yeah. I'm going to review it more in depth next week. I just wanted to, you have your whatever finger noting writing thingy. So
yeah, why not? We'll go head to head, man.
Not as exciting as I can write notes on my iPhone with my finger. And be more successful at it.
You're just sad because you got to wait until March now. Or whatever. Is that right?
No, what?
May. Not March, May. Sorry.
May 7th. That sucks because I'm going to be in Utah.
March of 2011, Eric gets his iPad. Yeah, you'll be here for Nerdtacular when your iPad comes out.
Exactly.
We may have to go to the Apple store or something. That is to say, you will.
Dude, no, I'm not going to freaking Salt Lake to get going to that one Apple store that's in all the state of Utah.
It won't be that bad. Well, maybe it will, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we? Oh.
We're at emails.
We're at emails. Let's do some emails. This is where you guys say stuff. And I, why am I so off here? Here we go.
You say stuff.
You guys say stuff. We answer
actually,
it with
you
stuff.
Actually, you write stuff.
Oh, that's right. You guys write stuff. In this case, you write it. Later on, you'll say stuff. Let's start with an email. We got one from Fernie Espinoza. Great name, dude. Fernie Espinoza. Says, hey, Scott and Eric. So,
like a wow character.
Right? It totally is.
So, go visit Fernie Espinoza down in Goldshire and collect 5 eggs.
That's perfect. Perfect. Ooh, I hate quests when they're low numbers because it means you're going to wait forever to find them. Ugh, I hate that. It's like, just find me 5 of these. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to have to kill 900 things to get 5 things. It's the worst. Anyway, so after getting my iPad on release day, says Fernie Espinoza, I brought it home and loaded up about 20 apps, including Wii Rule. I am very casual Wii Rule gamer. So a few days after purchasing the iPad, I played Wii Rule and noticed I had 165 Mojo bottles. Wow, dude. How the crap did he get all that if he's casual?
Continue reading.
Okay, and I don't play this game often, but I knew something was not right with the Mojo count. As it turns out, one of my daughters, who are 5 and 7 years old, accidentally bought some Mojo, even though they don't know my iTunes password. Both of them are always playing games on the iPhone, so they immediately knew how to navigate the iPad. The reason I got suckered is because both the iPhone and iPad cache the iTunes password for a while after it's entered, just like it did when I loaded up the original 20 apps and then handed the iPad to my 7-year-old. Do you know if I somehow can turn off the iTunes password caching? Funny enough, I'm always wishing it would last longer, ironically. Like, I hate that I have to put it in again because I just did something 5 minutes ago. I don't know of a way to extend that, but that sucks. Oh.
Well, he's not asking to extend it, but
I'm sorry, limit it or whatever, but yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because that, oh.
No, I've Wesley's done that on the PlayStation Network before.
Downloaded games you didn't want.
I was like in the other room on the computer. All of a sudden, I started getting all these ding, 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 like from
Sony emails.
Sony emails saying, "Yeah, here's a receipt for your purchase." And I'm like, "What?" I run into the other room and he's sitting there in the PlayStation store having a good time.
That's awesome.
So the simple solution is if you go into the iTunes application and scroll all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah,
there's like you see where your username email is.
Yep.
You just click on that, you can sign out.
Oh, yeah. Good. Oh, good answer, dude. That's how you handle that.
And also after, everybody knows after a certain amount of time, it goes away.
True that. Moving on. Hello, Scott and Eric, says Scott Townsend. I have recently got an iPhone and I love it, except for the fact that the first month I had to replace it twice. So here is hoping that third time's the charm and the phone works now. So anyways, get the Apple Care plan. I recently got the To-Do application for keeping track of jobs at work and at home, and I was wondering if there was any way I could sync To-Do with Google Calendar. Yes, so there is.
I mean, this is kind of such a roundabout way. Yeah. I don't know if you even would want to do this.
I did do this for a while before I went back to things. I was totally doing this.
Really? This is what you're doing?
Yep.
Does this thing sync with Google Calendars?
No.
Okay. It
doesn't have calendar functionality.
Yeah, I used to do this with To-Do, but then I switched to things.
Well, I wasn't. I was mostly concerned with syncing it to the to-dos in iCal, not the calendar events. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't care about having calendar events in To-Do being synced with iCal. I wanted the to-dos to just be synced with iCal. That's all I wanted, and that's what I got.
Okay.
So in the case of this other thing...
Well, the thing is the To-Do syncs with all your iCal and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So anyway, my roundabout solution is you'd sync to iCal with To-Do, and then you can sync iCal to your Google calendars.
Yeah, it's an extra jump, but it's probably it's an okay thing to do anyway, because now this is assuming he's on a Mac. So if you're on a Mac, yeah, that's your workaround. I don't know
that's true. Yeah. I didn't think about that.
I don't know how that works there.
Because if you don't have iCal on the PC,
no.
Dang you PC users.
You bastards. You've got that...
Your pension to the
I mean, if they're using what's the Microsoft thing, and my brain just went dead.
I think Entourage.
No,
I
that's think the Mac version. That's the Mac version.
No, what is it?
It's not Entourage.
I don't know. It's Entourage.
They call it Entourage on the Mac. It's called Outlook on the other thing. God, what's wrong with me? I used Outlook for years.
Outlook.
Outlook may have some way to let you do what you're trying to do with Google Calendar. I don't know.
Because actually, I think To-Do does sync with Outlook.
Well, if it does, then you're set, because I know that there's a way to get Outlook to sync with Google. So same workaround, different apps. Good luck to you, Scott Townsend. And I loved it when you were with The Who. Oh, that's Pete Townsend. Sorry. All right, moving on. We got some calls, and we have a few, so we better get right to them. Let's see here. Where'd it go? First call, iTunes icon on the taskbar.
Oh, hold on one second.
What?
It's official. To-Do does sync with Outlook.
Oh, good. Where'd you see that? In the distracting chat room?
On their webpage.
Okay.
Hi, guys. I'd like to put my iTunes icon on my taskbar on Windows. And every time iTunes updates, that shortcut always breaks. And I'm wondering why that happens. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I did a little digging into this. Wait,
I didn't hear it very well.
He says his iTunes icon in Windows on his taskbar disappears every time he updates iTunes. It doesn't disappear, but quits working. He has to replace it. And the way it works in Windows is you make an alias. It's not that different than the way you do it with the dock in OS X. However, did some digging around, tried to find out what I could find out, and it turns out there are others that are kind of running into your same problem, and nobody seems to have a good solution for it other than to say in Windows 7 and in Vista, some people have this problem. What I would do is make sure, because the way that those updates work in iTunes, or the way they used to work, is you had to re-download iTunes and everything all at once. So like you didn't do like a small update to iTunes. You had to download iTunes again and reinstall it. I don't know if they're still doing that on the Windows side. On the Mac side, it's all done through a system update, so it's totally different. If that's what's still happening on the Windows side, then you may be having a problem with where that thing's being installed every time. But it's still a mystery. My guess is you're doing it right. You're putting it all in the right places, and it's a bit of a mystery. So I thought this is one of those we could throw out to the listenership and say, has anyone else dealt with this? And if you did you have a solution? Because I could find nothing. Only complaints that it happened, but no solutions, no fixes. And I looked all over the message boards on Apple.com. I looked all over the place, and I just could not find a solution. So either I'm blind or someone out there knows. Let us know.
How hard is it to like add something to the taskbar?
Easy. You just drag in 7 it's easy. I can't remember in Vista if it's hard, but in 7 you just drag it out of whatever the application folder it is, and it treats it like an alias. You can also right click it and make an alias and then drag that wherever you want and put it. So it's not hard to make a shortcut. It's not what's
all right,
not
I'm just
possible.
Curious, because I know like on some of my applications, like my Live, when I download an update, it does a whole freaking new application and I have to drag out the old one and my dock and put in the new one, and there's no way of getting around that. So
yeah, I hate that.
It's not a big deal, but
I still hate it.
I can handle it. Yeah,
I have much hate.
Hey Scott and Eric, this is Ryan from Akron, Ohio. We bought an iPad the other day and brought it home, and the cat seemed to love it, so we slapped it up on YouTube, and next thing you know it's exploded with 180,000 hits. I just thought you guys would think it was cool, and your listeners would too. Love the show. It's called iPad Cat. Thank you, and derp.
Okay, you don't even have to ask me to go see it. This thing spread all over the place.
Well, there's two cat videos.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, but I think it's his that I saw.
Well, his is the one where they're playing that Pong type of game.
Yep.
And the little kitty is like trying to catch the little ball type of thing.
Yeah, which is awesome.
So, yeah, and then there's the other cat video where he's doing the... playing the piano.
Yeah, that sounds right. Congratulations, dude. That's great.
That's awesome.
Very cool. And it was
very
great.
Cool. I think yours was actually the very first cat video out there.
Yeah, I think so. And I saw
he's blazing the way.
Set the trend.
He did.
For cat iPad videos for many years to come.
Hey, guys. I got a quick question for you. And how the iPod Touch tracks your location. I have an iPod Touch second generation, and I noticed that if I plot a map route in Google Maps and then take my iPod Touch with me when traveling that route, Google Maps will actually update my progress as I'm moving to my destination. I think maybe it has something to do with Wi-Fi networks and it gets an updated location. Not sure, really curious to know if you guys have any thoughts or input or have any idea how that works. Thanks, love the show. Derp.
Okay, you're on the right track. It's almost exactly what's happening. The problem is, I mean, if you start the search when you're on a Wi-Fi network and then you go outside a Wi-Fi network, it's going to lose all that. So it's not like the phone where you have a constant connection sort of getting you there. But what is happening while you do have a connection is that your ISP is being used to triangulate your rough location. Keep in mind, it is way, way less accurate than an actual GPS, just like it was less accurate even in the first generation iPhone days where it was triangulating your location from cell towers. ISP is even harder because, you know, it's trying to figure out IPs and that doesn't really work with like some stuff that can be spoofed or changed around or made to look in different places. I mean, it's not very accurate at all, but you can kind of get away with it. But I mean, unless you live in a place where you're constantly getting Wi-Fi, no matter where you drive, uninterrupted Wi-Fi, I don't see how this would work anyway.
Well, this is what somebody sent us an email saying, you guys are wrong. My iPod Touch does have a GPS. And I'm like, no, dude, it doesn't. This is what it says on the the site. It says, okay, the iPod Touch with Maps, this is their little disclaimer, the Maps application provides your approximate location using information based on your proximity to known Wi-Fi networks when on and available. The more accurate the available information, the smaller circle identifying your position on the map is.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And it amazes me that this even works. So I think it's great that there's this kind of, you know, ghetto version of GPS. I think it's just awesome that they figured out a way to do that, but it is not the same as GPS. But you can do okay with it. It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not bad, but it's not.
If it was amazing, then they wouldn't even bother putting GPS in these phones. They just do it that way. But it's not amazing. It's okay.
Hey, Appsnappy brothers, it's Wayne from New Hampshire. I'm calling because I have a little dilemma. I want the new phone when it comes out, iPhone HD or whatever they are going to call it. But I don't know if it's worth it because in the autumn months, I will be deploying to Iraq. And I wanted to know if I should hold on until 2011 when I'll be returning or buy the new phone when it comes out. I don't know what you guys think when new phones come out. If you could give me an answer, that'd be great. All right.
Peace.
From way up northeast in New Hampshire. Oh, yeah. Derp.
That's awesome.
Is that how those guys say derp?
Doip.
Doip. Deryorp. Anyway, what would I do? I mean, I guess it depends on the question of what can you use the phone for while you're out of the country? I mean, is it going to be an issue of not having coverage? Do you even get to have coverage? Do they let you have phones?
I don't know enough information about what the Army, how the Army sets things up to you when you're over there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have specific cell tower that, you know, you can run your phone on. It'd be great to know if somebody knows that type of information.
Yeah, let us know more. I'm sure he probably does. He just didn't fill us in. But moreover, the question is, okay, let's say you get a phone now because you want the features of the new phone in as much as being able to use Wi-Fi on it and get the kind of apps you want, but you don't want an iPod Touch because maybe you want GPS or whatever. I don't know. I mean, if you're going to get a lot of usage out of it and a lot of enjoyment out of it while you're over there, then I say go for it. But if you're going to get it full of sand and ruin it, maybe wait.
Well, how long is it going to be deployed? Did they say that?
Didn't say.
Because it's like...
Probably a year. 6 months to a year, yeah.
That's a tough call.
I don't know much military stuff, as you can tell, but I'm guessing.
It's because it's like, you know, because that new sexy 4G phone's coming out. And you maybe just wait till you get back to get that thing. But if you're going to be out there, I can see you could get some great uses of using a 3GS phone, like, you know, with applications and whatnot.
Yeah, it's also worth mentioning, if you're going to be there for a year, when you get home, new phone. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're going to do one every year. So maybe you would, maybe you do wait. Maybe get a touch for that trip, depending on what they let you do. But if they give you access and you can tie into the some network there and it's all kosher, then it'd be hard for me not to get it for me. So I realize we're all over the map on this advice, but I think you should have a good time over there and don't die.
Yes.
Please don't die. All right. Well, that's it for calls. Thank you so much. If you guys want to send in your calls, it's very easy. Most of you send them in. Actually, all of you send them in as attachments, sometimes MP3s, but mostly this, the little memo app in your iPhone, your iPod Touch can do it as well with third-party apps. Send those to us at appslappy@gmail.com is the address to put in there. Super simple, easy to do. Check it out. Go do it. What else? Let's talk about iTunes shout-outs. It's that time of the show. We like to give a little bit of love back to the folks. Got some very nice five-star reviews from JVS, who says very slappy. Also one from Oakshave, says show is still great. What else? Let's see.
He's very surprised. It's still great. I can't believe it.
Bard the Bowman says, like a chocolate explosion of app goodness. And then also got a great one from Whaler 22. All right. Well, it looks like, lost Eric. I don't know what happened, but he ain't coming back. So it's the end of the show anyway. Thank you all the iTunes shout outs that we got. We really appreciate those. In closing, don't forget to check out the site, appslappy.com. Make sure you send us emails, appslappy@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/appslappyshow, or us individually, twitter.com/extralife for me, twitter.com/hawkito for Eric. And don't forget to use the Frog1 code next time you're at GoDaddy buying a domain. It'll save you like $3 on your next domain purchase, or renewal for that matter. You can use Frog2 and Frog3 for other stuff too. So experiment, play around, love GoDaddy. Check them out today. That's GoDaddy.com. Thanks again for sponsoring the show. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Eric, for everyone else. We'll see you next time on Show 44. Later. Okay, go.
Later.
Thank you for listening to App Slappy. For more great iPhone, iPod, and App Store coverage and archives of this show, visit appslappy.com.
What's up, Scott and Eric? This is Dave from Long Island. I got a solution to the guy who's having problems with the static in his car when he's using his charger. It actually has nothing to do with the charger at all. It has to do with the cable he's using. I found this product. It's called Noise Reducing Audio Cable. It's from Griffin. And you got to, I guess, like, you just Google it. You should be able to find it, no problem. They don't sell it at the Apple Store. I checked. And it is the absolute solution to this guy's problem. It's a really annoying issue for those people that have it. Yeah, hopefully you can forward that on to this gentleman. Appreciate it. Later.
Hey, App Slappy brothers. This is Makai from Newport. One of my friends who's a photographer has a really cool app he's going to tell you about. I'd like you guys to review it. Here you go.
All right, the app's called Sunseeker. It's available for about $3. And it basically just tracks the sun and the moon at any given time of day where they are, and you can even put in future dates. And you pull the app out, put it on camera mode, and you've got a virtual, like, looking through your camera. You can see exactly the elevation of the sun or where it's going to be, and it's really useful if you're location scouting for shooting a production and you want to know where the sun's going to be, if it's behind a building or a tree, or exactly what time it's going to rise or where it's going to peak. It's really amazing, and it's really inexpensive too.
So listen, this one's for Eric because you're the photo guy, so I think you'll appreciate it. Review the app and let me know what you guys think. Sunseeker. All right, Sunseeker. Derp.
Hey, Scott and Eric. Thought I'd give you guys a perspective of somebody who was really looking forward to the iPad, myself. Kind of like the father in American Family. I've been hounding my wife for it and leaving hints all over the place. But actually this week I got a chance to pick one up and look at it at Best Buy. And I gotta say, I think I'm happier with my Touch, and I really don't have a desire to get the iPad after playing around with it for about 5 minutes. It it's just a little too heavy, which kind of surprised me. Holding it and just going through different applications, my wrist started to get tired after about a minute. So I can't imagine just taking it around with me like I do my iPod Touch and throwing it in my pocket. And I think I'll put up with just reading news and things on the small screen. So that's just the perspective of one person that was looking forward to it. I'm wondering if anybody else kind of had the same opinion after playing around with it. Thanks. Bye.
Derp. Hey, Scott and Eric. Mike and Austin again. About that PDF issue, I've already sent you guys a lot of emails. So I did find a solution which works very well. I highly recommend it. It's called GoodReader, and it works just like Pages would. When you, you'll see it under the iTunes application area, and you'll see a little box. You click on the app, the box comes up, and that's where you can add your PDFs. So it works really well. It goes into full screen mode, and in order to get out of that full screen mode, you need three fingers. So GoodReader, definitely a good way to do it. You launch the app, it can go into web server mode, you go to your browser on your Mac or your PC, and you upload the files that way, or via iTunes underneath applications. So I thought I'd let you know, I've been struggling with getting those PDFs on there, but this is a really, really robust solution, and I believe GoodReader is only 99 cents, if I'm not mistaken. So there you go, 99 cents, I believe, and works great. Highly recommend GoodReader, good features. Derp!
Welcome, everyone, to Extravagant Dad's Extravagant Game of the Week. I'm your host, Extravagant Dad. This fine evening, we're taking a look at a lovely game called Transformers G1 Awakening. I purchased this game when I decided to go vacationing in the Hamptons with Buffy, Hildegard, and Franklin. This game certainly brought me back to my younger days, running around and playing with my toys. Oh, my nanny, she did love me, and she loved when I played with my Transformers. I certainly wish my parents could have seen that, but at the time they were in India hunting for diamonds. Speaking of diamonds, why, that fits right in with my review. Transformers G1 Awakening is certainly a diamond in the rough. It brings back many of the old classic characters from my younger days, such as Optimus Prime and Bumblebee and Jetfire and Metroplex. Oh, it was so good to see them all again. The game fits into a rare genre on the App Store, turn-based strategy. You don't see that very much, it's always something with tower defense or some such. Pure poppycock and nonsense. Let's discuss some of the game's high points. First of all, it's the flippin' Transformers. I don't think I really need to say much more than that. No, but seriously. I enjoy the music. It was very simple, but it fit the game well. The cel-shaded graphics for the Transformers were quite marvelous when you engaged in combat. The strategy element was certainly there. You could not hope to simply charge in and hope for victory. Gameplay is simple. Certain units have special abilities, other units do not, and it's a matter of learning how to optimize those abilities. Optimus Prime and Megatron, for example, give their cronies a 10% increase to damage. Now, this is certainly all well and good. However, there are shortcomings. For one, the graphics outside of combat are quite poor. For another, the text is so tiny, I had to constantly adjust my monocle to be able to read what was going on, and I so wanted to know what Bumblebee was saying. Finally, the user interface is a bit clunky. Overall, I enjoyed the game. However, I felt that it was missing a bit of polish, perhaps. If only my butler could put as much shine on this game as he does on my shoes.
Dad, what's the matter?
What do you mean, Hildegard? Nothing's wrong.
Then why do you sound like a drunk Sean Connery?
What do you mean? I feel fine. Go play with your solid gold Barbie dolls.
Mom, Dad went crazy again.
Honey, what's wrong?
Nothing's wrong.
Are the zombies attacking again?
No.
I thought I got all the puppets out of your office.
Reverend Hound has nothing to do with this.
You've got to stop rolling those dice if they're going to tell you you're going to die every time.
Now see here, Buffy, I feel perfectly fine. I don't know what
Buddy,
you're going on
Buddy, Mommy needs the frying pan again. Go get
that
it.
You have some okay, food Mom. To be cooking Yay. For me, or perhaps you should be disappointed.
Transformers G1 Awakening, $4.99 in the App Store right now. Take it or leave it. This is Cheap Dad and Family signing off.
My dad's weird.
Huh?
Zombie kids freak me out.
I know, dude.
That is a freaky thing.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.